Controlling what people see about you online is not an exact science. No, it isn't. We do spend a lot of time on our computers and phones, and that new stuff pops up with every search. Scott Kleinberg with us to talk about what you can control when it comes to your privacy. And Scott, I know you get asked about this a lot. We discussed it last time, didn't we?
Yeah. Good morning, Bob. You know, I was actually thinking about that when planning this week's topic. You know, having full control of what people find out about you online really is not possible, despite what people may tell you. But you can take steps to control things, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today.
All right, let's start with Facebook.
Sure. So, you know, regular listeners know that I often talk about the importance of looking at all your privacy settings and all the menus and familiarizing yourself about what's there. And one of the settings under this section called Audience and Visibility is called How People Find and Contact You. This is a treasure trove of safety information. So you click here, you can control who can send you friend requests, who can see your friends list, who can look you up based on the email address you gave Facebook, who can look you up based on the phone number that Facebook has on file. And this is the one that I think is actually most useful. Do you want search engines to link to your profile? If you toggle that off, you shouldn't be able to find your Facebook on Google or Bing. Now, I say shouldn't because nothing in life is guaranteed, but you can start to increase your privacy by toggling that setting off.
Do people still use Bing? I haven't heard that in a long time.
About 12 people, you know.
To be clear, what we're talking about doesn't mean someone cannot find you on Facebook, right?
That's right. Someone can still type in your name on a Facebook search. This is mostly for Google and Bing, things that are off Facebook. But that's where you stand to have the widest audience of people locating you. And keep in mind, it's perfectly okay if you want people finding you. I'm not saying, you know, that you have to turn it off. You can leave it on in that case. But for those people who view Facebook as a place where they interact with friends only, which many do, it's good to have that level of control.
What about Instagram? Does it help that Facebook and Instagram fall under the umbrella of Meta now?
You would think it would, Bob, but no, not really. The most important thing to know is that there's no setting that you can make on Facebook that carries over to Instagram. It's two separate apps with two separate security settings menus. And that said, there's a lot under the Facebook menus and there's a lot under the Instagram menus. So unfortunately, you're going to have to dig into each to find the settings that are right for you.
And what about Twitter?
Twitter is a little bit different, but you still have control. And, you know, again, if you've never looked at these settings, you're probably giving a lot more away than you have to. So on Twitter, let's see, start by going to Settings and Privacy. And then when you're under there, there's a section called Privacy and Safety. And then you scroll down to the section called Data Sharing and Off Twitter Activity. And see, there's a lot of different menus, but it gets to the good stuff. Under here, there's two really important sections. One is called Off Twitter Activity. That lets you manage how Twitter uses your online activity outside of Twitter, such as the websites you visit. They say, Twitter says, that it's used to personalize your experience, and that's very true. But you have to accurately weigh your comfort level between personalization and privacy. And then the second one is data sharing with business partners. This one is important. This one either allows or doesn't allow sharing of additional information with Twitter's business partners. So this is like that check mark you get in an email that says, share my information with other companies, and usually you uncheck that. Mm-hmm. But again, it's labeled an experience thing, so you want to decide for yourself how comfortable you are.
Digital strategist Scott Kleinberg, I want to ask you about Twitter's new close friends feature. Also, we'll get to LinkedIn and the Genius Bar problems of the week. That's coming up. Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg talking with us. As far as privacy goes, let's do one more on that, and it's LinkedIn. Scott?
Yeah. So LinkedIn does a pretty good job offering users options. So here, you can control what's on your public profile. You can control how much you share outside your first-degree connections. Those are the people you feel closest to. I'll say again, there's a lot of settings on LinkedIn, too, but I don't think any of them are really unclear. Again, it's just a matter of going through the menus. But if I were to tie all these platforms together somehow, I would say this. When you look at all these menus and you see what's toggled on and what's toggled off, some of them are really going to baffle your mind. And I say that seriously, because you will say things like, why would I want this to be on? And that's really good, because you want to think about that when you're sharing, because you want to think about what you're sharing and with whom you're sharing. And, you know, even if the platform has the best of intentions with settings, like Twitter is saying it's all about experience, settings are inherently personal. What makes sense for you won't make sense for me or for someone else. And, you know, if I would say in my experience doing this, you know, a small percentage of people have actually taken this kind of advice and really gone through and checked their settings. But social media platforms have improved over the years. They've really made it so these important settings are up to us. We didn't always have those options, but not everyone has embraced it. So I guess what I would say is, if you just assume that what's under these menus is good enough, I think you're going to be disappointed, because there's so much you can do. And being in control of these settings is really the only way for you to actually be in control of your own privacy.
We all have to take a little time and check all of that out. And many times we don't bother to do that, do we?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just take a half hour and you'll really see the difference.
Now, let's talk about Twitter and this feature that it lets you share tweets with a specific group of people. Is that it?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you something, Bob. I really like this, and it's a test right now, but it's called Flock, and it basically gives you a 150-person limit to have, you could call it a mini Twitter. You would set up 150 people, up to 150 people, and those would be the people that you interact with. So instead of tweeting to the universe or tweeting to a certain person, you tweet to these 150 people. And I don't know this yet, because this is a feature that's being tested, but if they were to expand this to have different flocks, and you could have different groups of 150 people, which I'm sure they're testing, then you could have one that's, you know, called Radio Buddies, and you could have another one called Social Media Strategy, and you can just you can compartmentalize everything in a way where you can get rid of the misinformation and all of the echo chambers and everything else that comes with social media. So I really like where they're going with this idea.
So it's a test, and it may become permanent.
It's a test. It may become permanent, exactly. And you know what? Twitter is doing a lot of testing with paid features right now. So maybe this becomes a paid feature. Maybe there's a certain version of it that's free, and then eventually it's paid. All of that is just me guessing what Twitter is probably going to test. But if people enjoy it, then it's something that they make that they might make more widespread. I would say, just from early looks at what this is, that people are going to appreciate this, because this makes Twitter a lot more like Facebook. It's a lot more personal, almost like a giant group message, text message, if you think of it like that.
All right, let's get to our Genius Bar questions.
Sure.
And one is from a listener, one is from me. I won't tell you which is which, because I want you to think I'm smarter about this than if I revealed that information. When you delete an email on your phone, does it also delete that email on your laptop and vice versa?
Almost always. And that depends on the email program that you're using. Nowadays, yes. If you're using Google, when you delete something on Google Web, it should delete from your email program, or whatever the case may be. If you're using iCloud email on an Apple, it will delete on the other device. So yes, the only time that wouldn't happen is if, let's say, your computer is, you connect your computer to the internet and then you disconnect your computer from the internet and you delete an email. It's not going to delete until the other one's online, but most people don't operate their computers that way. So it's safe to say that once you delete one in one place, it will be gone from the other. For most people, that's actually a feature. That's something that people enjoy. There are probably some people out there that would find that a little bit confusing and troublesome because they're trying to find it somewhere else. But I kind of like knowing that when I get rid of it in one place, it's gone everywhere.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Now, what is Google reverse search? This has something to do with the Google camera icon, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. You mean Google image search, the reverse icon. So if you, Google image searches have actually been around for a while, but they're actually kind of fun. If you take a photo and you click on the camera icon, I'm thinking about it from a phone right now. If you click on the camera icon and upload a photo, Google will tell you whether or not there's a similar photo. It will actually try to identify the photo. Now, the thing to know about this is don't upload a family photo or something like that. You don't want to put that in Google's database. If you just want to check it out to see how it works, take a historic photo or take something that you know what it is and upload it, and Google will try to attempt to tell you what the photo is. If there's no photo in its database that matches, it'll say, is this photo this or is this photo this? And it'll give you different sizes and different things like that. It can be a very powerful tool. Most people use Google Image Search, Bob, for, you know, when they're in journalism or they do something where they're trying to check for what's real news and what's fake news and that kind of stuff. That's how they check and see if those photos that you see of snowstorms and crazy things that happen, whether they're real or not.
I heard the term reverse search, but you're talking about image search, right?
Well, I think they may be one and the same thing in this case, Google image search or Google. Yeah. That's usually how they're used together, yes.
Got it. All right, Scott. And once again, if people have questions or comments, they can find you. Tell us how.
You can always tweet me. I am at Scott Kleinberg. My direct messages are open. If you feel comfortable, more comfortable sending me a private message, that's totally fine. I'm always happy to respond.
And here every Tuesday morning at this time. Thank you, Scott. Have a good one.
Thank you, Bob. You too.